This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark, Wong Shaning and Noel Lim. It's 6 o'clock in the morning, Tuesday the 14th of January. And welcome to the studio once again, you guys. Very good to have you on this lovely Tuesday morning. How are you today?
Well, I'm feeling good after Monday. And so today is always good to be here with you.
Well, nice to be in the studio with you too, Noel. It's actually, when you think about it, right, Tuesday is probably the start where you start thinking a bit more optimistic because the worst day of the week is just over, right?
So is that your worst day?
Yeah, Monday is the ultimate worst day for me. But Tuesday is a good way to start the week because you think, I only got another, like, you know, 3 more days to work and then I'm at the weekend.
Actually, I think my worst day of the week is probably Wednesdays.
Why?
Just because it's the furthest from the weekends. Do you know what I mean?
Is it the furthest? Isn't it 2 more days?
It's 2 days after. So the euphoria from the previous weekend has died down and you've still got, you know, another 2 days to the next one.
Well, I don't know what kind of weekend you had that you have 2 days to recover. My euphoria for the weekend ended on Sunday afternoon.
Yes, that's because you need to prep in the evening.
Yeah, work begins early already for us.
And speaking of work, we are looking at a number of interesting things that we're going to be talking about with you this morning. What do we have on the agenda?
Well, I'm going to ask whether in life everyone is accountable for their actions and there are no exemptions, whether you believe that to be the case, because it's a good reminder when our PM said so.
All right, and what else do we have?
Well, the second story here is, you know, we talk about Marie Kondo and all this thing about decluttering and finding joy from your possessions. Well, now there's the Japanese art of saving, and that's emerging, and we'll look into that article.
Okay, and if you want to weigh in on those conversations, remember you can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Up next, though, we'll be taking a look at an interesting development out of the Consumer Electronics Show that happened very recently over in Las Vegas. So be sure to stay tuned, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Walking on Sunshine by Katrina and the Waves, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Shaning and Noel. Now, when you think about smart cities, Toyota is probably not the name that you would automatically associate with it. But coming out of the Consumer Electronics Show that's been happening very recently in Las Vegas, Toyota has announced that they are looking to engineer the urban infrastructure of the future. So their big announcement is looking to build prototype towns of the future. So going beyond the physical boundaries of the car and actually looking at how to new forms of urban living. So this is quite an interesting development. And looking at some of the promotional pictures, you can't deny that it's very pretty. But you wonder how they're going to marry kind of this concept that they have of a very green environment with tech-assisted living.
Well, it's a bit like that question mark where people were wondering at the CES, what was Sony doing with a car, right? I mean, Sony is not known for cars, it's known for consumer electronics. But it's probably just a showcase to say, hey, this is what we're capable of, not necessarily the car, but all the components within the car. So similarly, maybe for Toyota, the idea is to show that, hey, we have all these other parts of city living, whatever it is, and we Toyota can make it. Not necessarily that they're really talking about building this so-called woven city. But, you know, it's more the selling of the concept, right, rather than anything else.
I mean, they do say that they're looking to, even on a small scale, build a complete city from the ground up. So one never knows.
I think with new technologies these days, industries are collapsing. The boundaries between industries are collapsing. What used to be a car company may no longer be a car company. Toyota is, after all, in the business of transportation, right? It's not just about building cars. So I think that is their way of experimenting and trying to see beyond what is their future. And that's why they are also going into this space, building a living lab, essentially, right? A living city. So the question is, would I want to live in it? I mean, would I want to participate in it, right? So I was thinking about it. Well, I think it would be things like data privacy and am I expected to be sociable, you know, staying in that city? But, you know, I can imagine I would like to be there because, I'm very curious about new technology. You know, I would like to play with those things, to immerse in their kind of research. And I'm sure there will be a lot of knowledge creation that will take place in this lab.
Yeah, but I wonder who they'll invite to come and stay. I'm sure it's not just everybody, right? Because it's like a prototype, right? So whether it will be like only for the scientists, for certain kind of people who can contribute, right?
Maybe you have to
I don't mind being the freeloader who goes and stays there, but what is my contribution?
Like, yeah, but the thing is, because these technologies are going to be made for people like you and me, right? So they have to have people, who ordinary people, so to speak.
Oh no, we're the ordinary contribution. I would think we'd be full of like scientists and engineers to make the city more dynamic, because it's supposed to be like the showcase of AI and modern tech, right? But it'll be interesting, because one thing I do notice about Japanese companies is it's like they do like to venture off the path a little bit, and then you then get, you know, this is the money in me, like, will come back and ask, is this really going to make money for them, or is this unnecessary diversification? Unless you're really creating something within the city that has commercial viability, why do this project then? There must be some reason, unless I can't see it.
We've talked about how the automotive industry is seeing a lot of competition and whether or not we'd see mergers and acquisitions or diversifications coming to pass. So this could be one of those diversifications. And on the subject of, you know, would I actually stay in it? I think I would too. Because I'd be interested to see, you know, this, to kind of get a little piece of the future and to see how exactly they're going to be integrating technology into your everyday life. And also at the same time, using it as what they call a catalyst for human connection. I mean, there is a part of me that, much like you, Noelle, I'm worried, does that mean I have to socialize with my neighbors? But, you know, why not? For the sake of experimentation, I think I would if I was actually living in a place like this Woven City. What about you, Shanning?
What kind of human connectivity are we talking about? True machines? Because that's not real human connectivity, right? I mean, when you look at all these like AI things, you just assume, okay, there's connectivity, but a lot of it is over the internet, over your data. It's not really about human connections from what I understand,
yeah,
right?
I think they're going to be creating a community of some sort, right? And the people in that community who would volunteer or subscribe to it will probably be people who are very interested about the future and they have that like-mindedness.
Well, do let us know what you think. Would you live in this woven city of Toyotas? You can WhatsApp us 01878988899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We are heading into a few messages, and then after that, we'll be taking a look at saving money the Japanese way. So be sure to stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Harmony Hall by Vampire Weekend, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Shanning and Noelle. Now, when it comes to saving money, there are always lots of tips and tricks on how best to do it. Well, CNBC takes a look at a Japanese way of saving money, and it's called kakebo. So it's a K-A-K-E-I-B-O. And basically what it is, there aren't very many bells and whistles. It's the most sophisticated technology involved is a pen and paper. And what it wants you to do is basically just to, I guess, be mindful about the purchase, whatever it is that you're buying that's non-essential. You know, can you? It makes you ask questions about it. Can you live without it? You know, what's your emotional state today? Because a lot of us, you know, buy things when we're stressed, or conversely, when we're feeling like we're in a celebratory mood. And I think this is quite a good way to go about it, because it kind of makes you stop and actually think rather than going in for that impulse purchase.
It almost feels like there's this Marie Kondo thing in the background, you know, decluttering, finding joy.
You ask yourself, does it spark joy before you even bought it?
Yeah, right. So I think the tediousness of having to just write down every single thing that you spend on will probably just deter you from spending, because it's just so tedious and so much work. But what you're saying is that when you write it down, you are more mindful. And I think for me, really, it's like, how do I save money, right? And I think that question, which is one of our questions, is like, do I even have space for it? And because I do my own housework, so I'm very conscious about things taking up space and having to dust them and so forth, and, you know, having to just store them somewhere. So that is that big question for me.
I think this actually, for once, makes sense, because there's no app involved, right? Normally, when we talk about anything, it will be involving some tech. And this one, all it needs is probably some notebook, which you probably can get for free, by the way, and a pen and a paper, which you can also get for free.
AKA if you steal them from your colleagues like you do, Shanning.
Yes, so this whole exercise can be done for free, which is excellent. So, hey, money saved already. You didn't need to pay for the app. Okay, that's one box ticked. But I think some of these these tips are very practical. Maybe you don't even need to list down all the tiny, tiny little purchases that we make every day. Like, for example, our packed lunch. What are you going to write? Wonton means 650. I mean, maybe you don't need to do that. It's maybe the bigger ticket items in your life, like when you buy clothes or makeup or shoes. You know, you kind of ask yourself before you buy that, do I really need it? Can I live without it? Which is like what you say, Noelle, a very Marie Kondo kind of question, right? Because if you don't need it, don't get it.
Absolutely. Or if you wander into the Apple store and everything's shiny and new and, you know, and so tempting, and you start looking at the Apple watches and it's like, nope. Ask yourself, do you actually need it or?
I mean, nobody really needs an Apple watch, right, when you think about it. If you have a perfectly fine, good working watch on your hand at the moment.
Yeah.
It's just a want.
Exactly. And so this is something, Kakebo also comes with some tips. So it's things like leaving an item for 24 hours. I mean, yes, there is always the fear that, oh no, if I go away and I come back tomorrow, it's not going to be here.
It's gone.
It's just what you tell yourself.
It is. And because if you have to kind of think about it, particularly with non-essentials. If you come back the next day and it's gone, you're not, you know, the world's not going to end. You'll probably find something similar if you still really, you know, can't get it out of your head, perhaps even for a cheaper price. So this is something that I've tried to do so far this year, is just be more mindful about spending habits. And generally, like, so I'm the kind of person that if it's there in front of me, I can't be bothered to walk around, you know, for another half hour to find a better deal. I'm just like, okay, you know, I'll just pay for it. But that's also not necessarily the best way to go about it, because when you take that time to think about your purchase, maybe you might realize that actually, no, I don't really need it, or I have two more like it at home.
That's what happened to me when I was trying to decide whether I should get that gym membership upstairs. And I was like deterring over that decision. And finally, I decided, well, you know, I actually have a gym downstairs in my condo. And why would I want to pay extra to just, you know, get into that more fancy gym? And so I took a deep breath and I reframed and I didn't go for that gym membership.
So much discipline, Noelle. I'm a little bit opposite to y'all. I do cave into that emotional happiness when I buy something, mm-hmm. especially when I'm having a bad day. And I'm like, ayo, life's too short, lah. YOLO. And then before you know it, I've got a little shopping bag in my hand, and adding to that, I don't know how many t-shirts that I don't really need. So yeah, I need to learn some of these tips from this lady.
But I think ultimately the idea here is not to completely ban yourself from buying non-essential items, right? Because every once in a while, you know, if you haven't bought anything, you know, treat yourself. Why not, right? But the key here is every once in a while. But do let us know what you think. Would you use this Kakebo saving method? You can WhatsApp us 01878988899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We're about to head into the 6:30 news now, and here to take you there is Brilliant Disguise by Bruce Springsteen. BFM 89.9. That was Royals by Lord, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark, Wang Xiaoning and Noel Lim. Now, our Prime Minister is in the news once again for saying that no one is above the law, not even him. And this is in response to some reports that a Selangor Bersatu youth chief was caught along with 17 others for participating in a private party at which the allegation is that drugs were present. Since then, it's kind of hit social media and become a little bit viral because, well, people are criticizing the youth chief in question. And so Dr. Mahathir has basically come out to say that if this is in fact true, and the police have yet to confirm this, if this is true, then everyone needs to face the consequences, even him. And I think it is important to say this outright because, I mean, we're even right now undergoing one of the most historic trials in our history, where a former prime minister is in court on allegations of corruption. So it really does need to be driven home that the leaders of the country are not exempt from the laws of the country. But I mean, the question is, does this happen in practice with a ruling prime minister, or would it only happen once that prime minister has fallen from grace?
I think it shouldn't matter, right, whether he is still in power or he isn't in power, because the law applies to all, and it's supposed to be right, when you look at the symbol of justice, which is that lady, she's got like a blindfold across her eyes, right? So that implies that it shouldn't matter at all, whether you're in power, you're not in power, whether you're rich or poor. Justice, well, the rule of law or justice should prevail. So I think what Mahathir says is perfectly reasonable. There shouldn't be any excuses, whether you're a politician or not a politician. There should be no exemptions, because otherwise, where do you draw the line?
And just to be clear, Tun Mahathir wasn't at the party. Where there were drugs, 17 people were arrested. Among them was a Selangor Bersatu youth chief. He was caught, but apparently he's now denying that he was even at the venue. Yes. So I think that, you know, I don't know, maybe this is just rumours. But anyway, I'm interested to know now, there were quite a number of personal assistants of some high-profile ministries like the Home Ministry and the Sports Ministry. So the question is, will the party take action? If they're found guilty, will there be some disciplinary charges, for example? But you know, this thing about, you know, who's above the law, right? And it seems to me sometimes the politically pragmatic move is not to investigate further and not to press charges. And I can, you know, some East Malaysian politicians come to mind in the past. So maybe sometimes we need to let the past rest. But I'm obviously in favour that whatever's in the past also should be dug up, because you want to send the right signal about justice and about who's not above the law, right? Nobody should be above the law.
Yeah, I agree. Because otherwise, it's like sometimes in life, admittedly, there are shades of grey. But when it comes to the law, if you allow for these shades of grey, where does it end? Right. Why are you given an exemption and why isn't the other person given an exemption? I mean, of course, when you look at jurisprudence, it's not completely hard and fast either. But that comes in the point where maybe when you come to the sentencing or in the decision. But what's important is you go through the court's process, right? Rather than, no need lah. You know, not even go to court, you won't be charged. I think that's when it gets grey, and that's not very fair to everyone.
Yeah, I think ultimately it is that separation of an independence of the judiciary that we are relying upon, right? So say I've done something wrong, and you, Shanning, for example, you look at it and then you say, no, you know, what Lin has done wrong is not enough to warrant, you know, putting everyone through the whole rigmarole of digging everything up. You know, you don't have the right to play judge and jury and, in a sense, executioner, because you are also kind of passing judgment and determining what is the following course of action.
And it's a slippery slope, right?
It is a very slippery slope.
Because, okay, you say, I'll let this one pass. Then which one do you let pass and which one you don't let pass? And you know, human nature is such, if you give them an inch, they'll start taking a mile.
And it's also leading by example. So particularly when you're talking about government, right? The government is supposed to at its heart uphold the interests of the people. We've put a lot of trust in the elected officials that make up our cabinet, so they have to be held to, in a certain extent, to a higher set of standards. They have to also show that they are clean and transparent, and that they do adhere to proper procedure. And that's why I think that when we talk about, when Pakatan Harapan came in and, you know, the talk about transparency and good governance came about, I think it's important to keep emphasizing that and to not let that kind of die into the background of all of the other issues that we may want to raise, because transparency, good governance, accountability, these are things that need to be solved as soon as possible and will outlive our current administration. So, but do let us know what you think about this story. You can WhatsApp us 01878 9899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be taking a look at social media as well as the front pages of the newspapers. So be sure to stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Superposition by Young the Giant, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Shanning and Noel. Now, taking a look at the front pages of the newspapers this morning, The Star has gone with the headline, Wild Party Rocks Bersatu. And this is a story continued on pages 2 and 4, basically talking about the story that we touched on about 10 minutes ago. So this is the arrest of 17 people at a private party in Ching Puchong. And so a state assemblyman has been implicated in this. But of course, the IGP, while he did confirm the arrests, the IGP has not released the names of the people arrested. And the Adun himself has denied that he was anywhere near the party.
So I think the question here is, all this publicity on Bersatu maybe is probably quite unnecessary, as mm-hmm. they're going through their internal polls. And I think apparently there may be some infighting, of course, carry on fighting. But the point here is it's just really bad news for them. And
it's bad news considering they're heading to the polls.
Yeah, that's
soon.
Right. Yeah. So State Assemblyman of Dengkil, Adif Shan, who's also the Selangor Bersatu youth chief, rumours were circulating that he was in the party, but he's denied it, and he said he showed up there simply to help negotiate the situation, and that's on front page of Metro.
So he went after the party was raided?
Yes, that's what he's saying.
Oh, so he wasn't at the party when it was
He
happening.
Said he was at home during the party.
Ah, okay. The plot thickens. I'm sure more details will be coming out over the next few days. For the Malaysian Reserve, the headline is, this is quite interesting actually, Malaysian Airlines is still reviewing the 23 billion ringgit purchase of Boeing's 737 MAX, as of course we all know, those planes have been grounded. And we're going to be following this story, I think, in the next few days, as to whether Malaysian Airlines and Boeing, they are, in the first place, Malaysian Airlines can actually cancel these planes. Because would you really want to take delivery of planes which has got a reputation like this?
Yeah, I think Boeing has not had a good start to the 2020, because originally they were intending to get the 737 MAX back in the air by the start of the new year, and that hasn't materialised. So there are still a lot of, I think, outstanding concerns over whether or not existing 737 MAXs can fly, if they also have the faulty system that caused the two crashes, the Lion Air crash as well as the Ethiopia Air crash. So generally not a good time for that company. And Malaysia Airlines, as far as Malaysia Airlines is concerned, yeah, I can see why they would be very hesitant over kind of linking themselves any further with the 737
MAX. They are not exactly very financially solvent, right? So the planes that they want to buy, or they need to buy, have to be the right planes that don't give them more headaches than they already have.
And they probably need to clear this with their insurance company, right? They would probably have a say.
Yeah.
Yeah. So taking a look also on page 3 of the Star, there is an article about the new minimum wage, which has been gazetted. So the 1,200 ringgit salary is set to take effect in 56 cities and one municipal council at 56 cities and municipal council areas from February 1st. So good, exciting. Overall, I think a positive step in terms of just getting people, getting wages up. Of course, not very good, though, for businesses who will have to pay the higher minimum wage.
I think it's about time, actually. This 1,002 isn't exactly a lot of money. The other thing is also maybe businesses really not need to think about automation more seriously, because all these high margins in the last few years, a lot of it has been driven by low labour costs.
Yeah, so, but you know, businesses had like at least 1-2 years already to mm-hmm. prepare for this. So I think they just have to work it in the budget. But you know, it's a pertinent point about moving into more high technology. On NST, the front page is on JOLO. Certain parties, according to the IGP, are hampering efforts to bring JOLO back. But he's not named these parties. And apparently, they're hampering these efforts because they don't want him to go to trial. And I suppose if he goes to trial, more will be shared for the party. Public to read.
To quote you, Shanning, the plot thickens.
Of course.
All right. Well, that is all that we have for you from the newspapers this morning, because we're about to head into the 7 o'clock news and then the business end of the morning run. But first, we have some music. Here is Mad About You by Hooverphonic, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.